ankle get blown out and hurt your ankle?
I did.
I did.
Lynn, do you have some announcements?
Just a couple things. This is like India Day. And I don't know if you noticed, and I have a few shirts. This is male, that's male, that's male. And these could be either male or female, I think. And these are definitely female. So I'll put them back there if you're interested.
So can I get the female if I really wanted one?
You could.
Because I have an anima in me, see.
An anima.
They're wearing on the anima day.
So, and thank you for all of the things to sustain the community. We've been getting things done quickly, and that's been great. And there will be a few little items this afternoon for work. And I'm looking at a couple things, and I'm trying to get, if we call them turnbuckles or braces for the door, things like that. I don't know if I'll get into today, but...
And the screen, the protection.
Yeah, the protection. So the dog. So. Yeah. Any rate, that's anything that you need to tell me.
Thank you. Thanks to the chef.
Doing that work, when do they do it? 5?
Yeah, 5. Okay. Yeah.
Are you going to do at the grocery store?
It depends on if what happens with Joanne. She's gone to Paris and she's going to drop by and see Jackie. If she does need to see Jackie, then I'm going to go after lunch and I'll pick up some things then. For sure, I'll go tomorrow. So.
I was just thinking about the half and half.
Are you?
Playing half and half.
You're renting out?
We still have some, but it won't make I
don't believe. Okay, no, we'll definitely get
and
some
Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Non-sugared Cheerios.
Non-sugared,
yeah,
Cheerios.
Non-sugared.
Were those sugared?
There are lots of sugared ones over there.
Really?
Thank heavens for Rice Krispies.
Really?
Thank you.
Hold still, just one,
yes,
second. Oh, well. I'll get you later.
Assistance.
Do I need what?
Cooking assistance.
Well, I'll know by this afternoon. Mickey's been helping me, so that's a big deal. And that means I've got things kind of ahead, which is good. So I'll let you know, though. I appreciate it. I'm going to need somebody to do a little vacuuming for me, and then there's a few repair things.
Do you want to say anything about these, the new?
There are these medallions. I've got one on. They're from India, and they're cheaper than the ones that we...
Less expensive.
better bargain.
They're a little bit smaller, not quite as large.
There's much weight in them, though.
But it's got as much weight, yeah. It's as much silver, and
yeah.
I think it's 22 carat. 24, 22.
And how much are those?
Those are 30.
Oh, wow.
And the shirts?
And the shirts, the men's shirts are 15.
Yeah. How big is that?
I think this would fit you. You want to try it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He likes it loose.
You what?
I like them really loose.
I think it's pretty loose.
I'm a loose kind of guy.
I know.
don't let that word get out, Jim.
The women
15, 20,
something like that.
Man, would you please give me some antihistamine?
Sure.
Expired in February because they're still good, probably.
There's some in the retreat house that expired in 08.
Oh, well, these are just 14 of February.
What's
that?
It's going to shrink.
It's
Looks beautiful.
Well, let's,
it's you, Jim.
Keep it on.
Ourselves here.
You like some loose.
Yeah, that's. I found them a little tight.
You have another shirt under that, though.
Peel.
Okay.
One way to skin a cat.
All right, well, we'll get started.
Now that I've done a strip.
So, dreams. David said he had a dream. Lynn, you had a dream. Okay, so we're going to. I'm going to let David go first.
All right. Big white limo pulls up. Get in. It turns out it's a, I guess, a politician by the way he's talking. Because he starts going on. He said, if I shuffle all the inmates off to other states and up the execution rates, I can claim that I lower the prison population. It's stuff like that he's rambling on about.
Say that again.
If I shuffle the inmates off to other states and up the execution rates, I can claim that I lowered the prison population.
Okay.
It's stuff like that where he's skewing the information to make himself look good. And then he has his driver drive up on this slide. Dream. But he stops and I see there's big boulders at the bottom of the slide. So I said, oh, I got it. I go on, I get down, I'm moving the boulders out of the way. And I see all these notebook computers tucked away with like sensors, microphones, and cameras watching whatever comes down the slide to catch it. So I sense that they're rigged, like when one of the sensors goes off, something's gonna happen. So I really quickly, hit it and then by the way, sure enough, some pulse went off. I felt it, but I throw all the notebook computers. And then these two guys walk up. One's a tall Hispanic man with a mustache and like some kind of sports shirt and shorts. And he knows me. He walks right up and we like kind of wrestle. We have arms on each other's shoulders and we're pushing on each other. And he's just talking and gabbing at me about what he's going to do tonight. And then this woman walks up and she's like covered in red paint. And she says, so are we going to go have sex? To the Latin, to the Hispanic man. And he turned, like, let's go. And he goes, no, not right now. And she goes, and walks off. And the guy shrugs and goes, man, people are throwing sex at me. And that was the end of the dream.
This is getting a lot better than I thought.
Let's spend time on that one.
Yeah. That's what we'll get in 6 hours.
Yeah. No, in the middle. Medieval period, Tuesday was the only day you could have sex.
You know,
according to the Catholic Church.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so,
okay. It wasn't
Tuesday. That changes, thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, Lena.
Jackie and I are traveling on a freeway in a city, and she's just beside herself that we get onto the other freeway that's going to cross where we are, and the exit is the sign says musical, and I take the next exit, which I assume to be musical, and it
musical
either is not or it is, and I don't know which, but it ends up that we are not on that freeway, and we are going down a very increasingly more antiquated passageways that turn into non-car related passageways. And we actually meet a kind of troll-like figure who's friendly enough and helps us eventually get to where we want to go. But I realize that we have ended up in a completely different place, and I think Jackie is still really concerned that we're not where she wanted to be.
Bless you.
She's in the dream. She's concerned that you're not where she should. You're not where
we didn't
she wants
get to that main artery freeway,
right.
And the exit was musical. and we took an exit that might have been used.
Okay.
And it becomes antiquated. And then we get to a good place, but it's not where we had intended.
Okay. All right, good.
I have a short one I would add.
Well, I want to just take two, because I know what's happening is you can see what's happening. So you've got a dream. I want you to make sure it's written down, okay? Anybody else have a dream? I want you to make sure it's written down. So I've written down two here, and we're not going to do any interpretation with them right now, okay? But I want you to keep looking at this board, okay? And I want you to think about your dream in relation to the future.
Great.
So, all right, so does that sound all right? And this dream work can become part of your mandalore. So you can tell just by looking at what I've written, it's very interesting stuff here. Okay. And it sort of gets into some of the stuff I think we're going to be doing today. And we'll see to what extent that it gets into the stuff we're doing today. So the topic of this morning, or the first part of this morning up to our coffee break, tea break, is we are interbeings. And the question for the day is, am I an insider or an outsider? And perhaps you already say, well, I know exactly what I am. But we may find that that's not exactly the case. The term for the day from the Jung world is individuation. Now, we're going to start with just looking at our religious landscape.
Could you show the question?
Yeah, the question of the day. So, inside or outsider? Yeah. So, 2012 Pew Research Religion and Public Life Project gives us these statistics. If you look up their website, you'll see many, many, many other statistics as well. We'll just highlight these. And you can see that Christians make up about one-third of the planet. Muslims about a quarter, almost a quarter of the planet. Hindus are the third largest group, 15%. Most of those live in India. Buddhist, fourth largest religion, 7%. You can see how small Judaism is, though it has an impact in a lot of other ways in our psyche, right? 400 million traditional. So those might include African traditional religion, Native American, that kind of thing. 58 million other, 1%. That's not negative 1%.
Sorry to use the wrong symbol.
Yeah, yeah. What
does other mean?
Yeah, so it's just, it could be...
Atheist, New Age.
Yeah, I mean, any... it could be Branch Davidians. I mean, so it could be
Mormons.
Post-Christians.
Could be Mormons, yeah. And I think Mormons are probably included in their list here rather than Christian. I can't remember. So that, of course, was an interesting sort of a debate, or not debate. It was a conversation going on in the last presidential election, or are Mormons Christians? Okay, well, I want you to do one assignment here, right? Off the bat, and that is, I want you to roughly draw circles the size of these groups. So obviously your biggest circle is going to be Christianity, and these are separate circles you're drawing. So roughly approximate in your journal, in your notebook, these groups here. Thank you. draw any circles, right? Some of you started your canvas yesterday, and Jerry may have finished hers. I know she was she was working. And then some of you haven't started your canvas work today. No, yesterday. And anyway, you'll eventually be starting. Even if it's not today, it could be tomorrow.
Of Jerry's big painting, she could do two a day.
Goodness.
I know it. She's got some extra canvases, I think. Yeah.
She can do mine.
You do want to pass this course, right?
Never bothered
we have
before.
To repeat.
All right, now I know you're still working on this, but go ahead and finish. All right, and I want you to draw an X in the circle that you're in, and if you don't think you're in any of those circles, draw another little circle that maybe you're going to put yourself in, and even identify that.
So what's the criteria for considering oneself Christian?
We have to get to that. We have to get to that. Maybe you put yourself half in and half out of that circle. I don't know. Or maybe you put yourself orbiting the circle. You could be orbiting in a circle. Okay?
Circle adjacent.
Yeah. Maybe you're in today and out tomorrow. I don't know where you are.
Or maybe you're in more than one.
That's called what I just bring in.
All right, this woman, Tomoko Masuzawa, was at Baylor a few years ago, and I had a chance to visit with her, have dinner with her. She wrote a book called The Invention of World Religions. And she writes, "We seem to imagine ourselves living in a world mapped in terms of so many varieties of religion, which often conflict with one another." And in her book, what she does is she demonstrates that these circles of faith, which demarcate insiders and outsiders, and then calls us to ask, am I an insider or an outsider? Or what qualifies me to be inside? Or what excludes me, right? Or by what definition are you saying this? Are Mormons insiders or outsiders? Okay, so these are questions that the culture is wrestling with, and perhaps we wrestle with. In fact, I know I have wrestled with these questions. What she says is in this book is that this is an invention, this demarcation circles of insiders and outsiders is an invention of Europeans in the 19th century. And before the 19th century, we understood religion as rites, ceremonies, customs of peoples or nations, or varieties of nations. So up to that point, we're thinking about a great variety of nations, these divergent people groups who adhere to different rites, customs, traditions, ceremonies, in other words, praxis. These people groups have particular practices that they're following. This comes to be replaced by what she calls the plurality of religions. That is a series of distinct populations or communities, each of which is assumed to be bounded and regulated by one or another set of belief systems. So emphasis on belief systems. So from praxis to belief systems, from sort of things that were sort of more messy to things that are demarcated. So, what does she mean here? Well, I just took a few examples of textbooks. You can find so many of those. When I when I started studying world religions as a college student, there really were only a few textbooks that were available. There are just hundreds, and I get these sent to me every year. I mean, and then, you know, then there's the next edition, so it's just fully stacked up. But notice, you know, you have this sort of parliament of religions. They're separate and represented by these different symbols. So they're separate but equal, sort of the way it's put out there. Or at least if they're not equal, they're separate and comparable. They can compare them to each other. They have a placeholder. They are secure within their borders. So you have a chapter on Judaism, a chapter on Hinduism. So that's the way I learned to teach, and that's the way I have been teaching. And it's the way I'll be teaching this year, though I recognize that maybe I need to be, as I'm rethinking this. But I will start with a section on Judaism, Christianity, go to Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, typically is what I'm doing. She says that before the 19th century, we thought about divergent people groups, polymorphic aggregation of humanity, divergent people groups adhering to different rites, customs, and ceremonies. It was polymorphous and uncontained. Again, emphasis on praxis here. After the 19th century, there's a pluralism of striated difference. So striation is the lining. A series of distinct communities, each of which is assumed to be bound and regulated by the recognized belief system. So they're characterized by segmented and neatly ordered, right? And actually, that makes it a lot easier for me to teach it that way. And I think there's a certain elegance to that, and when you teach, I mean, it's, you know, I can go down and go, what are the basic beliefs of Islam? Okay. What are basic characteristics here that I can compare with Christianity or with Judaism or et cetera? That, it's a way to teach things, to get a hold of something, right? It's, I think it works for students. They sort of get that, right? But Masuzawa says that these designations that we give to our chapters today, like Hinduism and Confucianism and Taoism, all these isms, were names that, of course, they didn't exist up until the 19th century. They're European inventions.
Does the scholarship then support that?
No, she's just making it up.
That's better.
She's not from Baylor.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so these classifications are inventives that advance European agendas. And their contemporary usage, I mean, in some sense, I mean, I have a colleague at Baylor, Chris Van Gore, he says there is no Hinduism, and he's right. There's no such thing. Hinduism doesn't exist. And it's a family of religions. So these isms really are creations of the European mind as a way of getting a handle on something in the East, something that is foreign. And they're colored, these isms are colored by the fact that they're being labeled. And of course, think about this also. You're talking about the catalyzation of the planet at this time in terms of maps. Every map you look at today is basically drawn by the colonial powers. You look at Africa.
In 1868, they met in Berlin.
Yeah.
And colonial powers drew the boundaries of the, what are now the countries of Africa.
British got this group, yeah. East Africa, the West Africa, the Germans got Tanzania.
Yeah, and they weren't based on ethnicity groups or anything. They were based just on territorial divisions, which is one of the reasons those countries have great functioning.
You know, the Kaiser wanted a mountain, so the Queen gave him Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. And they look at the map of Tanzania and Kenya, and you can see it bumps out so that the Kaiser could have Kilimanjaro because the Queen already had Mount Kenya. So this is what we did with religions. So the way we put this together is actually colored by this imperialism that was going on. So she uses this word here, polymorphism. Now, in biology, this occurs when two or more clearly different types exist in the same population of a species. So in other words, the occurrence of more than one morph or form. Now, in order to be classified this way, a morph must occupy the same habitat and belong to the same population. In other words, be able to mate. So you think about a cutthroat trout breeding with a rainbow trout, okay? Or I suppose as we think, Neanderthal with Homo sapiens, okay? So polymorphism. So this pluralism of striated difference. You think a striate is to mark, you know, to draw a line, you know, to furrow in the ground, somehow to delineate this from that, is what we now have. And in part, it works with our brain better, okay? Something, it's a way to make sense out of something. So the diversity of practice that came to be partitioned and consolidated with so many different distinct identities so that you can enumerate and say, okay, what are the basic beliefs here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can count in a sort of this quasi-parliamentary system of equal but separate, okay? In principle equal, but they're separate, is what we have now. So, you know, this is something natural for us to do, right? So I can, in my world religion class, it's such an easy handle to say, okay, there are three prophetic religions. There's Judaism, there's Christianity, and there's Islam. And there's certain things there, like authority, and it just happens to be an A there, but how do they think about authority? Well, they think about it in a lot of similar ways. Jews think about authority as the word became law, the Torah. Christians think about authority as the word became flesh, Christ. Muslims think about authority as the word became a book, the Quran. So I can say, you know, this is how we're very similar. But then I say, how is Torah different from Christ? How is Christ different from the Quran? Christ is not compared to Muhammad here. Christ is compared to a book. And so that is very interesting as a way to talk about things, okay? And it's nice. You know, and you can make a test from it. And as much as possible, I won't Scantron. Because essays, you know, who wants to read essays? Yeah, that's the worst part of being a teacher is grading, isn't it? I don't know, Jim, you think?
I didn't mind the grading. I hated the system of evaluation.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it.
But oh, I just love evaluating, but I hate grading.
I don't mind grading as a way to help the student, but I don't believe in the system.
Yeah.
So I had a real issue.
So from the 19th century on, so we in the West have
come up with a plurality of belief systems. And so again, when my students, I ask them, well, they want to define religion. And invariably, they will start with, religion is a belief in whatever, okay, God, you know, so. And then we keep going and they realize, well, that's not all it is, and there's other things going into that besides belief. It's also practices, ethics, it's other things as well. So these are the religions you'll often find in a typical textbook here.
Blake, wouldn't it be interesting if an anthropologist, which they're the ones that sort of started establishing these classifications, if an anthropologist came to us totally alien to us and said, what do these people do? What do they believe? I think they would classify us as consumerists. Because that's what we spend our time and effort and all of our thought, or much of our thought on is earning money to buy things.
We worship in the mall.
We worship in the mall. Those are our temples.
So, you know, you can see why people are upset when at Christmas it says Happy Holidays, because the only place they get to experience Jesus is in the mall.
Put Christ back in the mall. Huh?
Yeah.
Put Jesus back in the mall.
Yeah, so, you know, if you only worship in the mall, then I get it. I kind of get it now. Okay. All right, well, Masuzawa does something very interesting that I want to show you. And I'm going to pass this out also so you can have a copy of it. So you can see, you may be able to see it better with the, you know, the copy that you have. So in order to demonstrate what she's saying, that is that, you know, we've invented something here that's different from what we were thinking before the 19th century, the way we put this together, she shows this illustration from Bernard Picard, a painter who died in 1733, and his work here was used on a book that was called The Ceremonies and Religious Customs of the Various Nations of the World, and this was the front piece for that book. And you'll see how very interesting it is. This was a very expensive book, but it was very popular. It appeared in 1723, and it came from a printing house in Amsterdam, and the publisher was Jean Bernard. And he didn't take credit for it, but Masuzawa thinks that he's the writer of the text for the book, but he uses Picard for the illustrations. It's very innovative, it's beautiful, and it was multi-volume, and it went on to be reproduced for nearly two centuries in various forms. It was always changed. And what's interesting is that the art was changed of Picard. It was redone so that it sort of, you can see this delineation of religions taking place, and she makes a very obvious point here as she goes through this. So, Picard's work exemplified this basic idea that we have this polymorphic aggregation of humanity. There's a lump of people there. They're all together. And they're high and low, and you have a standpoint you're viewing these people from, and they're staged, okay? They're staged in relationship to each other. Now, the two lines there, these horizontal lines that she draws, those are her lines, though they're in the blue here on the screen. And so she says, well, look at this, there's basically three parts to it. Now, I want you to take a look at that for a second and see if you can identify people, symbols, objects. What do you see there? Take a few minutes and just observe that. Notice what you see. What do you see in there?
Well, there are different eras and different cultures.
Okay. Different eras, different cultures. What cultures do you see?
Well,
or
so there, it's like a Middle Eastern at the bottom.
Okay.
So a more European in the middle.
All right.
And the upper one is either futuristic or Aztec or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Is it the future or is it the past? All right. So, European, what religion, of course, we're probably looking at there. What in the Middle Eastern, we're looking at Islam, right? And what about the top, then?
It's
hard to see. You see,
looks like there. The Tower of Babel is in there.
Yeah. Okay. And then, the ziggurat there.
Well, it's basically everything else is over on the left. Appears to be Native American or something similar to that. In the,
no, those
are the Hittites. Oh, the Hittites, okay. Then there's a tower that looks like Mesoamerican.
Yeah.
And then over on the right are Buddhist and Hindu type things.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's, is this your Buddha right here?
No.
There, no?
It's, yeah, there's a Buddha. That's a Buddha.
Where is
yeah. It's it seems right at the
where your right is, and they have a stupa to the far right, which
there's
is Buddhist.
Stupa. Okay.
Judaism is missing though.
That's the bottom.
Well, that's Islam.
Ten Commandments.
There's
hell.
Okay.
Oh, I thought the bottom
was right here. Okay, yeah, there you go. There's a Buddha there. This is probably Kali, I think. Though she's standing upon. Mm-hmm. The man eating his entrails. I think this looks.
Yeah.
Ziggurat. This looks like a totem over here with a deer on
that's
top.
That's a Hittite stag.
Okay. All right.
Because I have one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In a former life, she brought it. And we bought one in Iceberg.
All right. Anything else you see? You said Judaism's missing.
Well,
somebody said
it's
not
missing. Corrected.
Okay.
What are the animals at the top that look like they're made out of smoke?
That looks like a ram to me, and that looks like a bird.
A bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're fascinated with the top.
That tower at the top looks like an unusually tall Japanese pagoda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like a pagoda.
It's a stupa.
Yeah.
I think.
In the central part, I was noting that the king or the regal person dominates the central part with the warrior at the feet or subservient.
Right here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dominant part of that whole size-wise.
Okay.
What is she?
Any guesses?
I think Jesus is missing.
Yeah.
Good point.
The middle part. The middle part is beat books, and the bottom part only has two written instruments, and the top, I don't see anything that's discernible.
Yeah, so you have a book here, looks like a book here, is that right?
There's three.
There's three there in this area. You get some writing
there. There's some
here.
Writing there, yeah. And the other guy's holding out a book.
Okay.
Standing up.
Interesting. The city is way in the background, like the separation of religion and the city life seems to be separated here too. Is it not in the city?
Maybe that's a city there.
That's what it looks like to me.
Could be, yeah.
And in the far background, it seems like the alternative to having none of it is desolate, smoke-filled wasteland.
All right.
It's kind of interesting as a few things cross the boundaries. She did a good job at delineating it, but the camel crosses the boundary at the bottom and the tree crosses the boundary at the top. Real distinct.
Yeah, she's making that delineation.
Well, the book, the left one says Biblia, and the right one says something Traditionis, Concilia Traditionis.
There you go. Okay, so this
is councils and the traditions.
This is the Bible, yeah. And this is the councils and traditions of the church. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what's the female figure? Is that?
Yeah. What could the female figure be here?
Throughout everything.
Goddess of wisdom.
Oh, that's a female?
Yeah.
Right here, yeah.
I thought that was like the Pope.
Yeah, I thought it was a Pope too at first.
Had a sex change.
Well, because it looks like the guy underneath is holding a phallus.
Maybe we're looking at the future. Which, now this is sex day, right? So what? Where's the phallus?
The guy lounging, the warrior. Looking up at him, the right warrior looking up to what I thought was the Pope, looks like he's holding a phallus.
Yeah,
it's
like an apple, or it's like an apple tree. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's Tuesday, you're still dreaming. I guess he's
still in the dream. That lady in red was
but in that war, that what we're calling a warrior, a woman.
That's right here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all mixed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
The soldier handing the apple.
Well, they're very androgynous.
Booze. Small busted, but
y'all are crazy.
I think he's just got a big chest.
Man.
I think that's the... It's a very ugly woman.
the soldier.
Yeah. All right, so one way to think about this is...
crucifix already in that.
The foreground.
Did you see this?
Yeah. I mean, sort of the background here. Then you move forward to the center.
Right. That guy.
And then you have the foreground, right?
Right here.
The guy wearing the mask.
Is a man in a mask.
All right, so at the time that this is put on the book, we were beginning to striate, but you see that really what we have is everything mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
That she's making a case that you have a threefold striation going on here. Even though the major point is that you do not have striation. You have a mix of humanity, and you really can't draw straight lines. They don't exist there.
Right.
So there were three ways that they were thinking about religions. They were beginning to think about religions as this group here, sort of the pagan past that included religions in India, in China, in Africa, maybe Native American, those religions of the past. There's even, I think, right here, it looks like human sacrifice or torture going on right there. It looks like that guy's in
a stock.
Some kind of a, yeah, his is in that stock. So then you move to Christianity, right? So this center is Christianity. It's dominating the whole thing. And then the final revelation is Islam. So Islam is sort of given an elevated category there in this painting. So this is vast. It's uneven terrain. You have the great and the small, and whether they're great or the small, there's a lot of detail to it. And the detail here is just as much as the detail in Christianity. There's a lot of attention paid here to this, and it's in the foreground.
You know, it's interesting, if that really is the Ten Commandments there that the guy's holding, He clearly, though, is Arab. The guy.
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think those are the Ten Commandments.
Okay, seven.
I can't read it, but I'll.
Okay, so where is Judaism then?
Judaism is right here.
Oh, in the fold.
There it is. Okay.
There's the Hebrew scripture right here.
Okay.
All right, so
the bottom right.
The point is you have this attention to detail. It's either realistic or fanciful. And it's this grand scale. And that the non-Christian religions are given that emphasis as well. Now, what you have here is on this side, the right is Catholicism, okay? And what you have here is Protestantism. And you can any of you find Luther and Calvin on the Protestant side?
Bent over there doing the baptizing.
Oh no, that's a Baptist. It's really an Anabaptist.
Right here, isn't it?
Where?
Anabaptist is baptizing. Okay.
Right above that is that Luther.
Right there.
Yeah, Luther right here.
Yeah.
He's Calvin. The one that's kind of facing this face, kind of facing out.
Yeah. That's Luther, right?
There's someone holding a sickle behind the wall.
Yeah.
I think that's Henry VIII.
Yeah, it's Henry VIII. He took off the head of his wife.
Yeah,
he's about to get that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right, so you have the Catholic Church here in the papal crown. The light is abundantly shed upon her large lap. She's very large. She has a large book, and Jerry's figured that out. It's not the Bible, it's the councils of the churches, it's the doctrine of the church. and you know, I don't know if you can make this out, but below that is hanging the notorious indulgence document.
The thing at the bottom of the book.
Yeah, can you see that hanging off there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And underfoot, underneath the church, you have the two earlier dispensations. You have the Hebrew scriptures here, and this is a Jew, all right? And then over here, what's the other dispensation?
Romans.
Yes, or the classical group, the philosophers, the classics, the Greek and Roman.
Is that a purse under the indulgences?
Not here. Or here?
Right there.
Oh,
no, I guess that's an arm.
That's
okay.
Arm.
Oh, that's his arm here. Yeah, that's an arm.
Good try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would have made sense. That's called amplification, right? So underfoot, underneath the Catholic Church, you have these earlier dispensations, the Hebrew scriptures, and this classical figure of antiquity. So here you have Jerusalem and Athens, Hebraism and Hellenism, and they both look at her adoringly, right?
Yeah, she's standing on them.
You could think of it that way. Could
she be is standing on them. I mean, literally.
That's what I said. You could think of it that way. You could also think of it as they're supporting her. Okay. So it's ambiguous. And you know, Brandy's right. It's she is triumphant over them. Okay. And yet she is also getting support from them.
Yeah.
So, and again, these are interpretations, and yours is as good as mine. I mean, this is just interpretation.
What is that animal in the Islamic section? It's right to the left.
A camel.
Ah, the camel. Okay, so that's a good clue to sort of where things are, right? So, so on the left side, you have the Protestants, right? You have Luther and Calvin there. You have the Anabaptists baptizing the adult. But the central figure is right here, this woman who's holding the Bible. And I can't tell, but a commentary I've read said that it's several languages, in the Bible in several languages. More conspicuous is the figure to her right.
Yeah.
Right here. Okay. He's perhaps, look at it, he's got this hand sort of pointing toward
gesturing.
Church, mm-hmm. right? And with this hand, it may be that he's trying to close the Bible.
So it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he's perhaps is an emissary of the Catholic Church, and he's this elder statesman, and he's pointing to irreconcilable choices here. You go this way or you go that. And so the Mother Church, though, has an olive branch that she seems to be offering here to the Protestants. Yet, if you look closely, she also has a chain and shackle.
Where is that?
Yeah, where is that?
Oh, it's, under the olive branch.
Yeah, and I think, if you look,
gotcha.
I think it's there. It's really hard
oh,
to say.
Oh, well, yeah, I see it. I see the shackle.
What about that figure holding the long staff? Is it possibly European aristocracy?
Scepter,
right here. What
is the chain?
Yeah.
Between the emissary from the church.
Yeah, okay, this is, look at this. Okay.
Oh, really?
This is where we get interested.
It almost looks like they're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Look at the dress here.
This guy's wearing
a wizard. Wizard.
Looks kind of like a wizard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Druid.
Druid.
It's Gandalf.
I think that's a druid.
Gandalf. Oh, and the mask accepts the Catholic Church, but the druid doesn't.
There's both.
Give you a blow up of that. So Brandy's picked something out here that's really important.
Where do you see it?
Both hands.
That was dead.
Brandy.
The
mask is leaning toward the church.
So Brandy, good job.
Brandy's pretending.
So this is a blow up of that. So you can see it. I think you can see it better now, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can see the chain. So
So there's this darker figure here. He's darker, right?
There's this one holding keys, though.
It is a mask. Ooh, you can see the other
Now. Let's stay with let's stay with the dark figure for a second.
I couldn't see the face under the mask in the small picture.
So he's you know what? He's in between. Mm-hmm. Right? He's between Protestantism and Catholicism. And denominationally, where might that person be? Or who might this represent? What about Orthodox? What about Eastern Orthodox? What about the Church of the East? Look at his dress.
Now, Greek, the top is Greek Orthodox.
Greek mask.
Well, the mask is curious, though. What is that about?
That's
what
Jesus. That
it's Jesus.
No, he's saying, I give homage to the Catholic Church, but not really.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I was reading yesterday about the conversion of Scandinavia, and they... King Olaf in Norway in 995 finally forced the Christianization of Norway, supposedly by cutting off people's heads that didn't convert.
What a great guy.
And but even as late as the 1200s, there were runes found in Bergen that were connected with the former religion. So you know, we think of Europe as being suddenly Christianized. Well, it wasn't. This may be some of that transition there also.
The bringing up of the violence here and the fear, and so this mask may be this letting the church see something that's not exactly your heart here, mm-hmm. not exactly who you are. And then Masuzawa has put these lines in. She drew these lines.
Yeah,
and so notice that, what is he reading?
He's looking over that guy's...
The Quran.
Oh, no.
But first, before he's getting to the Quran, what's he reading?
The Torah. When he's looking right straight down.
These were conversos. The people that were Jews and were attacked by the Inquisition and converted to Christianity. But the Inquisition continues to be suspicious of it, and that's why a lot of them came to the New World. New Mexico, a lot of people in New Mexico are conversos.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he's Jewish, but he's put on this mask of Catholicism, but he's still looking down at the Torah.
But he looks like he's bowing to the church.
Masuzawa, what she thinks about that.
They found in the villages on the high road to Taos, between Santa Fe and Taos, that people around what would be the Jewish Passover time were killing a sheep and painting the blood up on their door lintel, and yeah, I mean these were Hispanics. I mean this was in this century that they were doing that, and they started trying to find out why, and they found that these people were actually Jewish conversos that had escaped Spain because Spain was still killing the conversos, and they came to the New World, settled those villages, and then of course over the centuries they were you know, Catholic for all intents and purposes. Still have this family tradition of killing the sheep and doing the Passover type thing.
So this sort of in between character, and is he a converso? I'm going to ask Masuzawa what she thinks about. Is he perhaps somewhat Christian from the East who is sort of caught? But he's reading a Middle Eastern text, and then he's also even reading beyond that to the Quran, another Middle Eastern text. And it's sort of disguised, doing this in secret, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of what the work we're doing is like that. In some ways, it's dangerous a little bit, right? So we're translating. And we're translating, we're doing work on ancient text, and we're doing it sort of in between things.
It's
very, very interesting. Now, I want only... I hold your question. Let me finish this up because we're going to take a break. This line here, we kind of talked about. We've got this figure doing that. Yeah, here's the mask. So we've kind of talked about that. You got a better picture of it than this. So let's go down to Islam. here's in the third precept you have Ali. So these may be Shiites. So Ali is the vicar of Muhammad. It's one of them. Precepts of Shiism, and he has a book here, perhaps it's the Quran, and notice his finger is pointing to heaven. Okay, so
One God.
And transcendence, and so you have an acknowledgement of this revelation, that it is a revelation. Now, Masuzawa shows that as this progresses over two centuries, that finger no longer will eventually not be pointing to heaven.
Oh,
okay.
Huh.
Yeah. So it's really abusing the painting, but it's almost unrecognizable over several centuries, and parts are taken out and put into a striation. Okay, so I don't have those images, but you have to trust me on that. So she says that what we should do is to imagine an alternative positioning of scholarship, and that Picard allows us to do that. And so our work with mandalas is an attempt to imagine differently. So the mandalas we're working on represent the self, and in some ways we're talking about myself, so as I'm thinking about images, metaphors, practices, but then Jung has said the self is big. It's ubiquitous. And so in some ways, it's not myself. I live in self. I live in psyche. And so we're deconstructing what we've been taught in this sense. So these circles that we that I forced you to write, put yourself in one, and Gary, you know, he's reluctant to put himself in one.
Well, I put it myself in four of them.
You did, okay. Yeah. And in a sense, they don't exist. And that's part of our problem, these circles that we think about in this way, in a sense, really don't exist. There's a vast field of diversity that is uneven. And so in that, we have everything mixed together. So in other words, there is no Christianity, there are only Christianities, there is no Islam, there are only Islams. Perhaps you go further, there are no Christianities, there are only Christians, or there are no Buddhisms, there are only Buddhists. Tonight, you're going to see several of the images that Jung drew. He drew so many of them. You've looked at some of them in the Red Book. So tonight we're going to look at a DVD in which a Jungian analyst, is also an art critic, explores seven of these. This is one of them that he's going to explore, and it's called the Blue Star Mandala. So we're going to learn more about that tonight. But before we take a break, let's take a break, and then when we get back, I'll hand this out to you. So let's take a. So it's so what do we say? It's 10:35.